If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Being along for this, the inaugural edition of Radio Free America for the year of our Lord, 2014. Duke Brooks here, 718-305-7176 is the number here at conservativenationmedia.com. Thanks a lot for being along, whether you're listening live or you are listening to a podcast, a concept I'm not really sure I can wrap my mind around. I've been in regular radio, you know, actual commercial radio, for too long for me to think about what is the right, you know, how do you do a, how do you promote for a podcast? How do you do that kind of stuff? You know, I guess I'm just going to have to keep on working on it until I get it right. I have no idea when that will be. 718-305-7176 is the number. I don't know about you, but 2013 was, I guess I just don't know what kind of year it really was. I guess it could have been better, but I think it could have also been an awful lot worse, you know? I really do. At least I had a wonderful Christmas. I hope you did as well. My wonderful girlfriend, Linda, who is also known as the best human being in the world, except for me, bestowed upon me several wonderful gifts, not the least of which is being used right at this moment. And that is a brand new, not a Plantronics, but a Logitech headset. And this came very highly recommended, and It is dramatically better, I think, than the one that I used to use, which unfortunately lent itself to an awful lot of scratchiness and apparently bad sound. You can't really hear it when you're using it on the air. That's just, you know, I understand why that is, but you really can't. So in any event, it is in use right now, and I'm extremely happy with it. And if you like it, if you like the way it sounds, I see some folks motoring around in the chat room there. Lady Michelle, how are you tonight, ma'am? The number is 718-305-7176. I would like to hear your opinion on the new headset. Of course, you know, it's not necessarily, you can give your opinion, but it's not necessarily going to change anything, I can tell you that. In any event, I'm sure you are aware of two of the biggest news stories today. One of them is that former Defense Secretary Robert Gates, I think you will remember Robert Gates from coming in for about the last 2 years of the George W. Bush administration as Donald Rumsfeld was leaving. And the left despised Donald Rumsfeld, and the left basically put so much pressure on President Bush and his administration to let him go that finally, after the president in 2006 lost some, as a matter of fact, he lost the House and the Senate to the Democrats that year, he let former Secretary Rumsfeld go, and Robert Gates is the guy that came in, and Robert Gates continued to serve under Obama for, I think, 2 years. And then he left, and then Obama brought in Leon Panetta or somebody. I don't even know. You know, I mean, can I really force myself to pay close attention to the Obama administration's comings and goings? They're all so ridiculous. You know that they are. I mean, seriously, does this guy have – anyway, Robert Gates is coming up with a new book, and excerpts apparently were released today. And among the excerpts were was the statement, which I believe is just patently obvious, undeniable, and it just absolutely cannot be denied, that for the last 40 years that Joe Biden has been a member of the legislative and now a member of the executive branch of the U.S. government, he has been wrong about virtually every foreign policy idea that he has had, every decision that he has made, every vote that he cast in the Senate. His policy ideas during his tenure as vice president in the Obama administration, the abominable administration. How do you like that, huh? Next time, I don't know, I used to joke with people that this time I'm going to cast a write-in vote for the abominable snowman. I think I did, you know. Actually, I didn't. I did not vote for the president, obviously, but sadly, I think that there are a lot of Americans that did. That's quite obvious. And, hey, a people get the government they deserve. You know, what can I tell you? A people get the government they deserve. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. The first 2014 edition of ConservativeNationMedia.com's Wednesday night show. Now then, I was not on the air last Wednesday night because it was New Year's Day. I was not on the air the previous Wednesday night because it was Christmas Day. And, you know, I guess I just feel that even though a regular radio station would have people on the air, or they would be taking down some syndicated program off the bird or the satellite, but they like to say, yeah, we get that, that's coming down from the bird. They like to say that in radio stations. I don't know why, but I digress. But in any event, regular radio station would have somebody on the air. And ConservativeNationMedia.com, the president and general manager of the company, had made the decision that people would get the day off on Christmas Day and New Year's Day and Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. And I think that that is a wonderful thing. And I was only too happy to be able to oblige. So, in any event, there are quite a few new things that you may be hearing tonight. I've got some new bumper music. You heard some new music at the top of the show. Love My Way by the Psychedelic Furs from 1985, I think. And, with a xylophone, you got to love that thing. The music is a little bit, well, in 1985, I was 30. So, you know, I think people's musical tastes form at some point between the ages of about 10 and about 25. The music that you heard in your life between the ages of 10 and 25 is almost always going to have some meaning for you. If it's, you know, especially if it's music that you really like, if it's music that matters to you, you're going to like it your entire life. I don't mind telling you that I subscribe to Spotify, which is a free service. And if you, they also have other levels you can subscribe to and the commercials go away. They have little commercials on it that go, nah, 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 nah. Now you can take Spotify with you wherever you, you know, that sort of thing. Anyway, I have that, and there are thousands upon thousands of songs that you can get, pieces of music. I have quite a few of them, very rare and obscure things. Much to Linda's chagrin, I am a big fan, as you know by now. I am a huge fan of Stanley Kubrick, the film director who I consider to be the best film director of all time. there's a lot of people in Hollywood that think that too. You know, make no mistake about it. There are a lot of people in Hollywood that think that about Stanley Kubrick. And I mean people that, you know, that actually, you know, carry some serious weight, such as Steven Spielberg. He absolutely carries weight in Hollywood, no question. You know, Steven Spielberg has all but come out and said that Stanley Kubrick is the greatest director ever. And he is an amazingly good director. In case you don't know, he directed 2001 A Space Odyssey, Barry Lyndon, The Shining, Full Metal Jacket, Dr. Strangelove, to name a few, Paths of Glory, which was a superior film, Spartacus, which he took over from Anthony Mann, I believe, who was the original director, and Kirk Douglas was the executive producer of that movie. And as a result, you know, apparently Kirk Douglas and Tony Mann had some kind of serious conflicts on the set after the third day of shooting, and Tony Mann was gone. And at the time, they brought in Stanley, Kirk Douglas brought in Stanley Kubrick to direct the remainder of Spartacus. And Spartacus is based on a book by Dalton Trumbo. And Dalton Trumbo was a communist. There's no, absolutely no question about that. And they brought in Stanley Kubrick, James Harris and Stanley Kubrick, to finish up the film Spartacus, which was an epic. And Kubrick at the time, I think, was like 30, okay, an enfant terrible, as it were. And they brought him in, and he finished the film. And the film, of course, is an epic, just amazing. It is one of I believe it is the first film of its type that had no religious religious historical context to it. It was not about the life of Christ. It wasn't about John the Baptist. It wasn't about any of those things. But it did take place approximately in that era. I think around 70 BC, I think, is when the Spartacus slave revolt took place. It was a real event. You know, we here at conservativenationmedia.com like to start off the work week every Monday with a bang, so in a big way. And you know by now, it's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you are not from the volunteer state, be advised, I'm putting you on notice, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. It's brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, a bunch of good guys that are standing up for America. So check out Inside Tennessee Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America, in fact, always wins. Duke Brooks here, 718-305-7176 is the number. If you want to call in, I would, of course, appreciate the opportunity. Maybe we'll hear from Christian tonight in Denmark. Christian, I want Christian to come to America. He says that it would not be possible. He has a physical handicap of some type. I don't know what it is, but this guy loves America, and he deserves to come here and get a real serious native-born American burger, like the kind that Linda and I had tonight, the kind that we had last Friday when we had our neighbor Bob over for a burger dinner. Bob once said to me that he would actually prefer to eat a really good hamburger over a piece of filet mignon because he thinks it tastes better. And that could very well be true. Filet mignon is a good thing, make no mistake about it, but it really is very, very tough, or very difficult, I should say, to beat a hamburger. So I really want Christian to come over here maybe, in the summer, go to a ball game. If he comes over in the fall, he can see a baseball game and a football game. I would presume that if he did come over, we would bring him to Fort Worth, Texas, which is where the company's main offices are. Anyway, we're going to take a little break here. And 718-305-7176 is the number. Break coming up. Don't go away.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware.
All righty, welcome back. That's a new piece of bumper music, new for this program anyway. It's not really all that new, the song. If you, you know, if you're of a certain age, like me, I think I'm probably the oldest person in this company, you know. But anyway, you undoubtedly recognize that piece of music, which is called For What It's Worth, and it's by this band from like 1967 called Buffalo Springfield. Where do they come up with these names for these bands back then? I mean, the Psychedelic Furs, which is from the mid-1980s, it's from like almost 20 years later. All right, that's highly unusual, but what about the band called the Strawberry Alarm Clock? What on earth? I mean, what, you know, I guess at the time when I was like 12 or something, I probably thought it was interesting. But I rejected most of those bands because I sort of felt that they were, you know, all about the commies and everything. I don't really like the communists, don't like them at all. And you know that. 718-305-7176 is the number. I'm very glad that you could be along this evening. Or if you're listening on podcast, still a very difficult concept for me. If you are listening on podcast, hey, I welcome you. I'm very, very glad that you're here. I am looking forward to getting Bob Gates' book. You know, it's supposed to be something like one of these tell-all books that people very often write. You know, various people that have been in, you know, various administrations. When they get out, they write a book and, you know, people get it and the talking heads discuss it and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. You know, I mean, we want to know, we really do insist on some degree of transparency in the government. There, it has to be there. It does. It has to be there. And, you know, without that, I mean, what is the point of the Constitution or the entire concept of a representative republic? I mean, seriously, you know, without that, forget about it. So sometimes, however, I think that the people that write those books have a tendency to delve into details that I'm just not sure are necessary to be brought out. If it has to do with acts of national policy, that is one thing. If it is just, you know, things like Nancy Reagan had an astrologer running the country or something, forget about it. You know, that's just not the case. I think everybody pretty much understands that by now. 718-305-7176 is the number. This is Radio Free America and conservativenationmedia.com. The Bob Gates book, I think, is one of the major news stories that came out today. The book, I think, is not yet out, but the stories surrounding it certainly are. And one of them, in addition to the fact that he said that he believed that Vice President Joe Biden was a person of personal integrity, he said, Bob Gates apparently has written that he believes that the Vice President has been wrong on every policy decision over the last four decades. Guy's a liberal. What do you want? He also said, Bob Gates did, that he thinks that President Obama supported the troops, but he did not support their mission, and he wanted to pull them out of Iraq. Incidentally, newsflash, as you're aware, the foreign fighters, the radical Muslim jihadist Sharia law imposers, have now taken over the Iraqi city of Fallujah. And I think they've also taken over Basra or Kirkuk or, you know, some other Iraqi towns. And the Iraqi government can't do, you know, they've sent troops in to try to dislodge them, but apparently the Iraqi army isn't capable of getting them out of there. I don't know about you, but I'm not necessarily shocked by this. Are you? I mean, you know, the Iraqis, that entire region, it is a tribal society. And in a tribal, incidentally, I once had a long discussion with my buddy Paul about this, about the difference between a tribal society and a nation state. The fact is that in a tribal society, in each tribe, everyone in the tribe is related in some way or another. The majority of them could be fourth cousins twice removed or something like that. I don't know. But everybody in the tribe is related. The people marry within the tribe, and that is essentially their gene pool. Occasionally they'll take in other members. That's not the way it is in a nation state. Iraq is a tribal society. Most of the Middle Eastern countries are, and as a result, the politics there are not anything like what they are in a Western nation state. In a tribal society, there is constant sort of, bickering over getting revenge on this, taking out that territory, and those things seem to take precedence over whether, you know, the nation state doesn't matter, the autonomous region in which they live, that doesn't matter. What matters is the tribe. Religion doesn't matter. Some are Sunni, some are Shiites. Once the tribal thing is put aside, then the Sunnis and the Shiites will fight to kill each other. I have no idea. It's just unbelievable how people can live that way. This is, after all, the 21st century. Correct me if I'm wrong here, as Bill O'Reilly says famously. Where am I going wrong? That's his conciliatory debate starting line. Good for him. Speaking of O'Reilly, I have his new book, got it today, called Killing Jesus. I have not read it yet. I just got it today. I just got it. Come on. I'm going to probably let Linda read it first. Our neighbor Bob wanted to borrow a book of mine the other day. I don't lend books. Linda and I live together. That's different, okay? But I'm not going to lend a book to somebody even though they just live across the street. It's not a good idea. They never come back. Anyway, we're about 34 minutes into the first hour of this edition of Radio Free America. On conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins, I believe we may have a phone call coming in from overseas. Is that you, Christian?
Yes, it is. And a Happy New Year to all your listeners.
Happy New Year to you, my friend, and thank you for calling in. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very fine over here, personally, but I was calling in about what you were saying about the Fallujah thing.
What have you heard recently?
The hardcore Muslims, the jihadists, the Al-Qaeda crowd has taken over. Basically, that's always happens in places where Muslim people are the majority of the people. They are often portrayed as a big moderate group and with a few radicals. But it always ends up with the radicals taking over. And you can see it even in Europe when they take over apartment buildings and living areas. We have plenty of areas in Denmark where basically it is the mob rule of Muslim youth extremists that are really setting the agenda, where cops are afraid to come and show. So it doesn't surprise me. I basically think, I'm a big George Bush supporter and really think he was an excellent president in many regards. But I think he got it wrong when he thought that he could bring democracy and our way of life to the Arab world the same
That's
way.
That's right.
As far
yeah, that was yeah, that was not a good decision. I agree.
I think he was very inspired by his father that alongside Ronald Reagan brought democracy and our way of life to the old common countries in Eastern Europe, which was a tremendous success and really still are a great success thanks to what happened back then. And he thought that he can get the same thing going in the Arab world. And the Arab world is completely different. They can never get anything the same way that we have.
No, there is no tradition of democracy in the Arab world. And the reason we have a tradition here is that democracy has existed in the Western tradition since approximately 2000 BC, when the ancient Greeks, I think, had it.
Yeah.
The Athenians, I believe, is where it started. I could be wrong about that. You might know more about that than I do. But in the Western world, the world we live in now is the end product of several important intellectual movements that have taken place in Western civilization, starting with the Renaissance, followed by the Reformation and then the Counter-Reformation. But then followed by the Age of Reason and the Enlightenment, and they have not had any of those in the air. There was never a Renaissance in the Arab world, so we have these things, and we Westerners are accustomed to being able to think freely and to express ourselves publicly.
Yeah.
As Yakov Smirnov, the say again.
Yeah, it's a part of our culture,
yes, it is.
And you know, you can always you know ponder about why it is the way it is, but the end result is really the end result. Muslim people are not made for democracy and free
thinking. No, they're not.
And behaving rationally, they have a completely different mindset, and that should just be respected and accepted that they are, and therefore they cannot have the same sort of living societies as we have. All we can do is to protect us from all the awfulness that comes out of their way of living, really, and try to have as few Muslims in our neighborhoods, in our countries, as possible.
When do you think the Danish people are going to tell that supermodel wannabe prime minister y'all have over there that it's time to keep the Muslims out, not let them in?
We have some political parties in Denmark that promotes the anti-Muslim agenda, and they are about a little less than one-fifth of of all the voters. But basically, the Danish people are very tired of the Muslims. Over half of Danish people are anyway, and they would really like to get them kicked out. But the politicians are too cowardly to do anything about it, and it's really a sad affair, all in all. And it's not going to get it any different if we get another government, because basically the Denmark has had different types of government the last 30 years, but they have all really done the same politics, really.
It's a parliamentary system, and that's different from the system that we have.
Yeah.
Christian, I've got to run, but thank you for calling my friend, and I sure hope to hear from you next Wednesday.
That's super, have a great show.
Thank you, my friend. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. What a great guy. You know, I've never met the guy in person. I'm very glad that he calls in. I always love hearing from him. And one day, we're going to figure out a way to get him to America. We're running a tiny little bit late. One of the worst nightmares that can happen to any American, in addition to running late on their internet radio show, is identity theft. Now, if it happens to you, it could take months or even longer to recover from it. That is, if you can recover from it at all. So don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance and sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is, of course, a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member services 24/7, 365. In truth and in fact, there is nothing that even comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off of their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. You will be glad you did. You will also be glad that you have hung in and you continue to do so. Stay right where you are. Going to take a brief break. More and your calls coming up. Don't go away.
Hey, Billy.
Yeah?
Do you want to go to the state fair?
Yeah.
Do you want to ride the roller coaster?
Yeah.
The big one?
Yeah.
The one with the reverse flip?
Yeah!
Well, you can't.
What?
You see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it, including going to the state fair.
Oh, man.
Cheer up. This year, your parents will make it right. They're going to visit energysavers.gov, where they'll get tips on how to save energy and money. Then they'll add extra insulation and get a few of those Energy Star appliances. They could save hundreds of dollars a year. And you know what, Billy?
What?
They'll take you to the state fair next year.
But I want to go this year.
I know you do, Billy. I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
$10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change? You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome back. Duke Brooks here. Yeah, we've got some new bumpers tonight, but I gotta be honest with you. You know, the Beatles, they're kind of in a class by themselves. I do believe that a lot of the Lennon and McCartney melodies, things like Yesterday and Michelle and maybe even Eleanor Rigby, things like that, I believe that they will stand the test of time. And I think that much like several of the things that Beethoven has written, Mozart, etc., Handel, you know, they will survive. And hundreds of years from now, it's entirely possible that people will still be whistling, you know, Norwegian Wood and things like that. And they won't know very much, if anything at all, about how the songs came into existence, who wrote them, or why. They might know the names, the Beatles or Lennon and McCartney. But anyway, 718-305-7176 is the number. For Radio Free America here at ConservativeNationMedia.com, we have been talking about a little bit, you and I, about the forthcoming book by Robert Gates, former Secretary of Defense. I guess it's kind of a tell-all with a lot of policy judgments thrown in. If a guy that served as Secretary of Defense for 4 years isn't qualified to talk about defense policy, I'm not really sure who is. However, you know, the other big story today, and this is really very interesting, and I think it's very, very telling. We'll see what the real facts are. They'll develop over the next couple of days, I'm sure. The guy who has gotten the most essentially straw votes from Republicans as to who they would like to see run against the Democrat candidate, who I think most people at this moment presume will be Hillary Clinton, in 2016 is the governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie. Chris Christie is a guy who has a reputation for being kind of tough and no-nonsense, and especially with the press, when they ask questions that he doesn't like, Governor Christie, who is this very large guy, I think one might describe him as being somewhat rotund, and people have made fun of him as a result of that. I don't necessarily think that that's fair. I probably don't think it's fair at all, as a matter of fact. However, Governor Christie, apparently when he ran for re-election as governor of New Jersey the last time, which I think was, it was last year, it was in 2012, he wanted the endorsement of the mayor of Fort Lee, New Jersey. Now, I don't know the mayor of Fort Lee. Of course, on the other hand, I might, because for a couple of years when I was in the first, second, and third grade, I lived in Fort Lee, New Jersey. And I went to school at in Englewood, New Jersey, at a school called the Elizabeth Morrow School. And before that, I was at a school that was called the Holy Trinity School in an area of Fort Lee, New Jersey called Coitsville. Yeah, this is going back now like, 50 years or so. And my memory is somewhat foggy on some of these things. But I can tell you, living in Fort Lee, we lived in a building that was called 2175 Hudson Terrace. It was right on the Hudson River. And the George Washington Bridge was just a matter of maybe a couple of hundred yards south of our building. Our apartment was on the ninth floor, looking east over the Hudson and the GWB on the north end of the building, and we had a terrace, a balcony, and you could go out there, and the entire skyline of Manhattan was right in front of you. I mean, it was just, I was a young kid. I was between the ages of 7 and about 9 living there, but it was truly an amazing view. So anyway, I guess the mayor of Fort Lee, New Jersey was asked to endorse Governor Christie, and Governor Christie did not like the fact that the mayor of Fort Lee, New Jersey did not endorse him, and as a result, apparently either the governor or someone on Governor Christie's staff set out an order that the New Jersey Department of Transportation would close certain lanes of the Jersey side of the George Washington Bridge. This is from the New York Times via the Drudge Report. Newly released emails and text messages show that Governor Chris Christie's office was closely involved with lane closings on the New Jersey side of the George Washington Bridge in September, and that officials closed the lanes as retribution against the Democrat mayor whose town was gridlocked as a result. The growing scandal around the bridge threatens Mr. Christie at the moment. He assumes an even larger position on the national stage as chairman of the Republican Governors Association and a leading candidate for his party's presidential nomination in 2016. In the documents obtained by the New York Times and other news outlets on Wednesday morning, which would be this morning, Bridget Ann Kelly, a deputy chief of staff in Mr. Christie's office, gave a signal to the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey to close the lanes about 2 weeks before the closings occurred. Quote, time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee, unquote. She emailed David Wildstein, Mr. Christie's close friend from high school and one of his appointees at the Port Authority, which controls the bridge. Mr. Christie and some officials at Port Authority have said the closings were done as part of a traffic study, but they caused havoc for days, backing up traffic for hours. Mr. Christie's handpicked chairman of the Port Authority, David Sampson, was also involved in the closings, according to the emails, which describe his efforts to, quote, retaliate against New York officials who had not been told of the changes and sought to ease the gridlock. I mean, now, despite the editorials that are thrown in by the writer of this New York Times story, somebody named Kate Zernike, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, this is the fifth graph. Mr. Christie's hand-picked chairman of the Port Authority. I'm not really sure what the term hand-picked means. Does anybody know what that means? What does it mean? I think it means that there's something funny going on, or at least that is what the writer wants you to think about it, obviously, hand-picked. Well, we're going to get back to that in a moment. We are going to take a quick break. And then more about Chris Christie and the George Washington Bridge scandal coming up on Radio Free America, so don't go away.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electro-synth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that
we were... Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people. Like you, sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Hi, I'm Kathy Henners, your host on Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. Please join me each Friday as we talk about subjects like the Muslim Brotherhood, their goals, their agenda, and how it affects our schools, our law enforcement, and our communities. As a retired police officer, I'll give you an inside look into this issue and so much more. Don't miss it. Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Sometimes in winter, I gaze into the streets and walk through snow and
Welcome back. That is one of our new bumpers. That is Sometimes in Winter by Blood, Sweat, and Tears from around 1968 or 69, somewhere around there. There's something about that tune. I'm not sure what it is. I mean, how can somebody say why they like a particular piece of music that's in a minor key, and it just has that kind of muted trumpet sound that, there was something about the music back then. A lot of people say, that bubblegum, that pop stuff, the Cow Sills, the Mamas and the Papas, Spanky and Our Gang, you know, that kind of stuff. But a lot of it was very good. I just liked a lot of that stuff. But, there's no way that I can connect that to Governor Chris Christie. I don't know. You know, that guy, now, a lot of people say, yeah, he's a Republican. He's going to tell it like it is, boy. He's a no-nonsense kind of guy. Other people say he's really not a conservative, and I would agree with that. I don't see how anyone who apparently has never had any employer in his life other than the state of New Jersey and the United States government could possibly be a conservative, because with that much time in government, you definitely lose your ability, I think, to think objectively and to just be able to not view your employer as a means to solve every problem. Because government, that's not government's job to solve every problem. It simply is not. That's one of the reasons why we're in the very serious problems that we are in right now. And that is because so many people, for so long, we're now in about the third generation of having major federal programs that are designed to provide direct material financial support to individuals. And people are now used to the idea that, you know, government's going to help. Now, should there be a social safety net? Yes, there should. There is no question about that. But as a conservative Republican, indeed as spokesman for the Sussex County, Delaware Republican Committee, I can say that we do believe in a social safety net for our fellow citizens. We do not believe in a hammock, and we certainly don't believe in generation after generation living for in no way other than on the government dole. That is an absolutely horrible precedent, and I'm beginning to think it is beneath the dignity of the American people. I don't know about you. 718-305-7176. I mean, by that, I don't know about what you think. You should give me a call, which is why I just gave the phone number, 718-305-7176. We are now just about 8 minutes to the top of the hour, which means about 8 minutes from Talk Radio News Service. I think that Jeff Holtzman is going to probably have some very interesting story tonight concerning the Robert Gates book and Joe Biden and all that stuff. As a matter of fact, I know for a fact that he is. I've already heard it today. That's just the way things are in the internet radio industry. So in any event, I think that Governor Christie, who apparently was a very good United States attorney for the District of New Jersey. And from there, I think, you know, he had a high profile in the state as prosecutors and state's attorneys and attorneys general often do, you know, get involved in a couple of high-profile cases, and you will, you know, the public will hear your name and they'll remember it. And I guess that's the coin of the realm in American politics today, as if it hasn't always been, I suppose. Well, not always. Until I think the early 1800s, like until about, I would guess, around the War of 1812, there was a very gentlemanly way of doing things in American politics, and that is, the belief was that the office should seek the man, not the other way around. And there are still vestiges of that in our political system today. One will notice that on the night or the day, the afternoon, that a major political party nominates its candidate, the vote is taken for the candidate. The winning candidate's name is announced, and people will give speeches in support of that candidate. The candidate himself is not at the convention. He is normally somewhere else at their hotel or something, or, you know, somewhere, but not at the convention. That is a vestige. That is a little tiny leftover acknowledgement from the time when candidates did not go around actively campaigning. They liked having their friends and neighbors and the people in their district or their state come to them and say, will you please run? You know, you have my support if you'll run. And then the candidate would, you know, very often would make almost a little theatrics of, you know, well, I guess if my neighbors really want me to, I can run for the U.S. Congress. Of course, people did not run for the U.S. Senate back then. They did not run for the U.S. Senate until 1913. Prior to that, United States senators were appointed by their state legislature and state governor. And they did away with that for a variety of different reasons, not the least of which is the fact that people that wanted to hold the office of U.S. senator clearly could bribe or attempt to bribe or otherwise attempt to influence their state legislators, their state senates, primarily to appoint them. And that is probably, it is definitely a legitimate reason to prosecute somebody that would do that, but it was not, in my view, a legitimate reason to gut the United States Constitution and to chip away at the sovereignty of the states, which is exactly what that amendment from 1913 does. And it does it for this reason. When the senators were appointed by their state legislatures, they ultimately had to answer to their state legislatures for what they did in Washington. Now, and that kept Washington essentially answerable to the states. Now, with the senators being directly elected, they are not representing the interests of the state government. They are rather representing the political interests of the people, which means they are essentially under the control of political parties and lobbyists and all sorts of other people who have given money to their campaigns and things of that nature. The fact of the matter is, if there are not states, then our entire federal form of government doesn't make any sense. Every once in a while, you hear somebody come up with this, quote, argument, unquote, that the Electoral College should be done away with. If there is no Electoral College, there is no reason whatsoever for there to be states at all. Because in this country, people have to understand the people do not elect the president. The people elect the congressman, and now they elect the senators. But the states elect the president. That's the way it actually works. About 2 minutes now until the top of the hour. And if the states were no longer electing the president, just the people were, there would never, ever again be a Republican president in this country, because the five or six largest cities in the country would control the entire electoral process. Places like Oklahoma, Nebraska, Alaska, Hawaii, South Dakota, Nevada, places like that, you know, Arkansas, places like that, that do not possess very, very large urban areas would have absolutely no voice at all in the election of a president. And frankly, I think that the electoral process in this country has worked fairly well up until now. I think there have been three times in American history when the president did not get the plurality of popular votes, but rather he did win the majority of the electoral votes. It is an electoral system. That is the way it works if we're going to have states. And we are. And I'll tell you what else we're going to have. We're going to have news from Jeff Holtzman at Talk Radio News Service. That is coming up in just a moment or two here. Four of your calls are coming up as well. And our number is Radio Free America.
Coming to you every hour, on the hour.
love America. You're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. Revelations from Robert Gates' new memoir have the White House playing defense. In his new book, the former defense secretary makes several allegations about President Obama and his staff. In particular, Gates says that both Obama and Hillary Clinton admitted to him that they opposed the 2007 Iraq surge because it was the smart thing to do politically. Not true, says White House Press Secretary Jay Carney.
Anybody who has covered Barack Obama, going all the way back to his race for the Senate, knows that he was opposed to the Iraq War. So it would be entirely inconsistent for him not to hold the position that he held with regards to the surge.
Carney also defended Vice President Joe Biden, who Gates accuses of poisoning the well against military leadership.
As a senator and as a vice president, Joe Biden has been one of the leading statesmen of his time, and he has been an excellent counselor and advisor to the president for the past 5 years.
Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Number 2 starting off right now. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along this evening. We have some business in the chat room. The phone number is 718-305-7176 to call in live. And, of course, I would love to hear your opinion on virtually any subject. We have been talking, as Jeff Holtzman just did, about former Secretary of Defense Robert Gates' book. I don't think he's related to Bill Gates. I don't know. I heard somebody on the radio the other day that called up and said that Susan Rice, the former ambassador to the UN, the one that said on 5 Sunday talk shows in September of 2012 that the deaths of 4 Americans in Benghazi was caused by a spontaneous, simultaneous riot that was touched off by the trailer for a film that was allegedly being shot in the United States that was unflattering to their religious figure, Mohammed. Some people call him the prophet Mo. I don't believe he was a prophet. I don't. In any event, somebody said that Susan Rice was the sister of Condoleezza Rice. No, I don't think so. Anyway, I have no idea if Bill Gates and Robert Gates are related. Wouldn't surprise me. I think Robert Gates is a very smart guy. But in any event, obviously, you know, it seems that the decisions made in the combat in Afghanistan and in Iraq were made for domestic political election-winning purposes and not for purposes of military efficacy. That, in my view, is utterly and profoundly disgraceful. And President Obama really deserves to, I don't know, maybe he should be impeached. I don't know, maybe he should be. Maybe that is a high crime and a misdemeanor for the commander-in-chief to be concerned with reelection and not really concerned with the safety and combat survivability of American forces when deployed overseas. I just think it's absurd. Absolutely unbelievable. 718-305-7176. We have, unfortunately, there are some people that seek and attain office in this country that should not be there. I'm beginning to think that Chris Christie might be one of them. It seems very clear to me that he is somewhat of a bully, and he is the kind of person that will seek revenge against others if he doesn't like what they have done. You know, that kind of an individual, there might be, I don't know. If he, I'd kind of like to say that if the individual were to use that facet of his personality against Democrats, I don't know if I'd have a problem with that. I think the media would have a huge problem with it, but I'm not really sure what kind of a – I don't know. I really don't like the Democrats. I don't like them at all. And you know that, and the chances are if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you probably don't like them either. They've kind of stopped trolling us, and I suspect that they have done that because they realize that they're going to lose, and the fact of the matter is – Democrat ideas simply do not stand up to strict scrutiny. However, if you know, something needs to happen, they have simply damaged the country too much, and maybe if we have a Republican in office who is going to do things to kind of mess with them in such a way that he is not breaking any laws, then that would be, maybe that would be the right thing. The last time that we had a president in office who truly, truly, a Republican president who I guess I want to say he personally despised the Democrats was Richard Nixon. And there are even liberal historians, which is to say simply historians, who seem to begrudgingly admit that President Nixon did not plan the Watergate break-in, he did not design the Watergate break-in, he did not order the Watergate break-in. What he did after Haldeman, Ehrlichman, and Mitchell planned and designed and executed the break-in, he tried to protect his people. And he engaged in a cover-up. The cover-up is always much worse than the crime itself, at least in the perception of the American people. So that is basically, you know, that's the reason why there were the Watergate hearings, and they had John Dean and G. Gordon Liddy went to jail and Barker went to jail. I think Jeb Stuart Magruder went to jail. Colson went to jail. You know, Haldeman did. It was unbelievable. I think it was John Ehrlichman who went to prison for something like 8 months because he had possession unauthorized possession of two FBI files. During the Watergate, during the Whitewater investigation, when Bill and Hillary were in office, and they were both president, she wasn't sworn in, but basically, you know, she was as much making decisions in the West Wing as Bill was, apparently. They found that Hillary had something like 18 FBI files in her possession, and she was never indicted. It is illegal for anyone other than the FBI or law enforcement to have access to FBI files. And apparently Hillary had quite a few of them, but no problem. You know, if you're a Republican, you go to jail. If you're a Democrat, you don't. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. This is hour number two. We are now about 11 minutes into hour number two on the Wednesday, January 8th edition. And I'm very, very glad that you are along with us this evening. We have been talking about Bob Gates's book. We've been talking about Governor Bill Christie of New Jersey. I think maybe the weather is next. However, it's not the weather from the point of view of, wow, it was really cold today where I live. Yeah. And it was. I mean, it's 21 degrees in Delaware right now, and that's pretty cold. It was like 9 degrees on Sunday night or something. Just, you know, amazing. Sunday night, Monday night, whenever it was, 8 degrees, very, very cold. It's incredible. The left is still out there trying to sell this global warming thing to the American people. Apparently now there is no actual evidence to support it. Their computer models didn't work out. They didn't see the hockey stick graph that they, are so fond of. It just isn't working out. We, however, are. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing. No question about that. And we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. That's right. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central, immediately, normally this would say immediately following Soldier of Patriotism with Michael Smith. We're going to be hearing that show again soon. Anyway, American by Design, Sunday evenings at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with us 7 days a week now since we are making some big changes, and the fact is we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Thank goodness for that. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. In a couple of minutes, we will be taking a break. Coming out of that break on this day in Civil War history, always interesting, the movie Lincoln by Steven Spielberg, starring Daniel Day-Lewis and Sally Field, David Strathairn, Tommy Lee Jones. It has a great cast. Epatha Merkerson is in the movie. She plays Tommy Lee Jones's character, who is Congressman Thaddeus Stevens from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, very, very influential congressman during the Civil War. She plays his wife or housekeeper. Now, Epatha Merkerson is from Fort Washington, Maryland, and she starred for several years as Lieutenant Anita Van Buren on the crime drama Law and Order on the NBC television network, which I believe, despite my overall feelings about NBC, I believe is the best crime drama that has ever aired on American television. It now comes on at night on the Sundance Channel or something, Ovation, one of those things, I don't know. But in any event, she played in the movie Thaddeus Stevens' wife. She is a black lady. She's an African-American lady. However, Thaddeus Stevens' wife was not. She was what was called an octoroon. She was 1/8 black. They actually, you know, cared about that stuff back then. I don't know. It was a great film. It had some couple of shortcomings, in my view. But, heck, what do I know? I'm not Steven Spielberg. I'm not even Stanley Kubrick. Anyway, we are going to take a brief break. More of your calls are coming up, so don't go away.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. I start laundry at 8. At 10, we go for a walk. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Wildfires burn millions of acres each year. And each year, wildland firefighters like Fire Chief James Hall battle to contain them. But they can't do it alone.
A single ember that escapes from a wildfire can travel more than a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home, your community, or more. That single ember can be just as dangerous as the wildfire itself. But you can do something firefighters can't. You can act now to prepare your home and your community for wildfire. You can reduce the risk. Do your part. Go to fireadapted.org.
Get fire adapted. Learn what you can do now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace, for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
And by now, if you are a devotee of Radio Free America, you know that that rendition of Ashokan Farewell means it's time for On This Day in Civil War History. This is from the Civil War Day by Day, an almanac by E.B. Long with Barbara Long. January 8th was a Friday in 1864. It's 150 years ago today. In New Orleans, pro-Union elements convened to consider reconstruction of Louisiana. David O. Dodd, convicted as a Confederate spy, was executed in Little Rock, Arkansas, in a case which aroused considerable agitation. In Richmond, a reception honored John Hent Morgan, the Western Raider. President Davis wrote to Governor Zebulon B. Vance of North Carolina regarding discontent in the state, quote, "I cannot see how the mere material obstacles are to be surmounted," unquote, in order to bring about a cessation of hostilities. Repeating his desire for peace with independence, Davis added, quote, "The struggle must continue until the enemy is beaten out of his vain confidence in our subjugation. Then, and not until then, will it be possible to treat of peace," unquote. Action occurred at Moorfield Junction, West Virginia. Federals bombarded Confederate works at the mouth of Caney Bayou, Texas. Well, I guess the only real action during the Civil War at that time would have been in southern states like Texas, because back then, 150 years ago, armies would have been in what was referred to as winter quarters. You know, you're just not going to move. You're not going to do a lot of fighting in the dead of winter, you know, especially in freezing temperatures. Back then, they really just did not have the technology and the know-how that was necessary to keep troops warm and adequately fed when they were on the march, you know, during the winter time. Very, very, very tough, very, very hard to do back then. But as we used to say in Civil War reenacting, those were real men, and they were. You know, I mean, back then, a person would have thought nothing of walking 5 miles to get somewhere. That would have just been, that's just something that you do. You walk 5 miles. They didn't know about cars. I think a lot of people would have been very, very happy to be able to ride a horse, you know, 5 miles, which would have taken the horse maybe, an hour and a half. It would have taken a person 2 hours. You know, if the horse only walked, if you knew what you were doing and you were a good rider and you could gallop the horse for, you know, a minute and a half at a time or something and let the horse then cool down by just walking for a little while, you probably could have made that trip, a 5 mile trip on horseback in maybe, oh, I don't know, 20 minutes perhaps. You know, there's certainly no way you could have ever, covered that much distance on foot. When railroads came out in the 1840s in America, in the 1840s, I think 5 or 10 years earlier in England, the English invented them, the Scots and the English. The Scots invented the steam engine, and the an Englishman named Trevithick invented the steam locomotive, what was called the steam locomotive back then. Not necessarily, obviously we don't have steam locomotives in America, except as, you know, antiques, like museum pieces. When I was in Italy in 1975, there was a steam locomotive that was switching cars in a rail yard. I mean, the Continental and International trains were all diesel or electric or something, but it was very interesting. You know, I was kind of shocked to see it. Italy was kind of behind, you know, I don't know. But in any event, people could not, you know, the idea of walking 5 miles, no big deal. Nowadays, most people I know would not be able to walk 500 yards. I don't think I would either. I don't know, you know, maybe if I forced myself and I had the right shoes. Got arthritis in my left foot, you know, that's one of the things about getting old. I hope you don't get old. I mean, I hope you do get old, but I hope you don't have all the little physical manifestations of getting old, because it is, it's not fun. You know, I'm telling you, it's just not. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. Chris Christie may, you know, who knows what the ultimate result of this George Washington Bridge, you know, memorandum, traffic closure for revenge scandal. You know, who knows? Let's see. Here is another story. This is through, this is from NorthJersey.com via the Drudge Report. This was updated at 6:48, which means a little less than 3 hours ago. It's by Lynn Tott, L-I-N-H-T-O-T-T. TAT, staff writer for The Record. Emergency responders were delayed in attending to four medical situations, including one in which a 91-year-old woman lay unconscious due to traffic gridlock caused by unannounced closures of access lanes to the George Washington Bridge, according to the head of the borough's EMS department. The woman later died, borough records show. In at least two of those instances, response time doubled, noted EMS coordinator Paul Favia, who documented those cases in a September 10th letter to Mayor Mark Sokolich, which The Record obtained. On September 9th, the first day of the traffic paralysis, EMS crews took 7 to 9 minutes to arrive at the scene of a vehicle accident where four people were injured when the response time should have been less than 4 minutes, he wrote. It also took EMS 7 minutes to reach an unconscious 91-year-old woman who later died of cardiac arrest at a hospital. Although he did not say her death was directly caused by the delays, Favia noted that, quote, paramedics were delayed due to heavy traffic on Fort Lee Road and had to meet the ambulance en route to the hospital instead of on the scene, unquote. Emergency responders also were late in getting to a third medical emergency that first morning of the lane closures. It took Favia nearly an hour to arrive at a building where a person was experiencing chest pains, quote, due to standstill traffic on Route 46 East, the mutual aid ambulance coming from Palisades Park and paramedics coming out of Leonia were also delayed due to the excessive traffic, unquote, he wrote. Delays in emergency response times continued the next morning when a call that should have taken 3 or 4 minutes to respond to took 7, Favia wrote. In that instance, a male is experiencing chest pains. Okay. Hey, so I guess the mayor of Fort Lee, New Jersey is Mark Sokolich. Don't know him. You know, all right. I lived in Fort Lee when Alan Shepard went into outer space. All right. In any event, if investigators, reporters, investigative reporters, reporting investigators, whatever, if they are able to find that Governor Christie knew what was going on and had either encouraged or directed or knew about but did nothing to stop the lane closures on the George Washington Bridge in order to retaliate against Mayor Sokolich of Fort Lee, then I think Mr. Christie's political aspirations for 2016 may be over. In fact, a scandal like this could, in theory, cost a guy like that the governorship. He, you know, I mean, this could be very, very bad, but I don't know. Only time will tell. This is a fairly new scandal. It took place in, it took, obviously, this took place over a year ago, and it's just coming out now. It takes a while for these things to come out. I'm not really sure why, but it just does. In any event, we are just about 29 minutes into hour number two at Radio Free America here on conservativenationmedia.com. We've got a break coming up in a moment or two. The number is 718-305-7176 if you have an opinion on the Chris Christie piece. If you have an opinion on the Robert Gates book, that's fine. That's welcome as well at 718-305-7176. If you have an opinion that you can articulate without using ridiculous four-letter words, you are also welcome to call. About another half an hour to go. I don't know where you are in the country, but it has been ridiculously frigid here in the Atlantic coastal area of Delaware for the last week or so, just crazy. It's supposed to be like 50 degrees on Saturday. I am presuming that if you're listening to me right now on conservativenationmedia.com, that you are, like me, a conservative. That means that you love America just like we do, and it also means that you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government of D.C. drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Now, since that's the case, you are going to want to Supply Depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. This is where America always wins. More of your calls coming up, maybe even a little bit of hangar flying, so stay right where you are.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, sweetie. What's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay. What?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
All righty, thank you very much, Greg Duran, and thank you, George Harrison, What Is Life, from the album All Things Must Pass from 1970. Solid gold. We have about 26 minutes left here in Radio Free America. The number is 718-305-7176. Chat room, of course, open for business. I see some people ducking in and out of there every once in a while. A very good thing. I'm not really sure what the Bill Gates book is going to be all about. I can tell you that my lovely girlfriend got for me for Christmas, in addition to the headset and boom mic system by Logitech, on which you are hearing me right now. I hope you like it. I think it sounds pretty good. That's what people are saying anyway. I got the book by Condoleezza Rice called No Higher Honor, and I can't wait to read it. It's a tome. Looks like it's about 800 to 900 pages. I mean, it's a big one. And I may begin reading that as soon as I finish the Reagan Diaries, which were edited by Doug Brinkley at Rice University in Texas. That is not related to Condoleezza Rice, okay, and it's not related to Susan Rice. But in any event, actually, you know, I might have to delay that. I got Linda for Christmas the Charles Krauthammer book, which is out right now and that you hear so much about. She is really enjoying it. Linda's a speed reader. She could read the Reagan Diaries in about a day. You know, pretty unbelievable. However, she is enjoying Charles Krauthammer, and I think she's also enjoying the specialty hot sauces that I got. Linda loves spicy hot sauce. She loves that. She loves root beer. She loves mushrooms. You know, that's, but in any event, I think that there is no, really no way you can justify what Susan Rice said about, you know, the, and now the New York Times, several days ago, I think, on Sunday, published a story in which their guy had allegedly been researching the Benghazi attack of September 11th, 2012, and came to the conclusion that it was just a spontaneous demonstration when the demonstrators were angered by the film that was not flattering of Mohammed. And that, of course, is ridiculous because these so-called spontaneous demonstrators showed up with hand grenades and mortars and bazooka and that kind of RPG, you know, that kind of stuff. So the New York Times, obviously, is now trying to clear the way for Hillary Clinton to be nominated as for president of the United States in 2016. That would be as big a disaster as Obama, maybe even a worse one than Obama. If Governor Chris Christie is found to have had something to do with the traffic, the lane closures that jammed up traffic in Fort Lee, New Jersey at about that same time, actually this past year, not 2012, but this past year, then I think that will sink Governor Christie. You know, he's going to come off as a bully and as an axe-grinding revengecrat, and I don't think that that's what the American people necessarily want. There might be a time when a personality like that will be very, very effective in dealing with our foreign enemies. No question about it. You know, if a guy has a reputation of something like, you don't mess with me, you don't mess with the Zoltan, or something like that, I don't know, that may have the effect of deterring some people from foreign countries from thinking that they can push us around. I mean, face it, who's going to pick a fight with a guy like Ronald Reagan? Nobody is, all right? Nobody did. I think Libya did. They tried. They wanted to see what was going on. And they got smacked down very, very hard when American airplanes, F-14s primarily, from the aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson, if I remember correctly, was in the Mediterranean. And the northern coast of Libya, the main feature, geographical feature of the northern coast of Libya is a gulf, which is called the Gulf of Sidra, and the late Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, who was the military dictator of Libya at the time, believed that that entire gulf was Libyan territorial waters. It was not. The Libyans tried to base their theory of this behind a UN finding that the fjords of Norway and all the water within them and everything out to an average distance of 200 miles, I guess, 200 nautical miles, were all Norwegian territory. The Gulf of Sidra does not resemble the fjords of Norway. I've never been to the Gulf of Sidra. I have been to the fjords of Norway. There really is not anything like the fjords of Norway, anything in the world, anywhere in the world, I can tell you that for sure. In any event, the United States Navy, to make sure that the Libyans and everyone else understood that that portion of the Gulf of Sidra, closest to the Mediterranean, in fact, was international waters and international airspace above the international waters, we sent in United States Naval Combat Fighter Squadrons, and the Libyans sent up airplanes. The Libyans first referred to the line from the northwestern and northeasternmost points of the Gulf of Sidra, where it meets the Mediterranean, as the line of death. At that time, one of my best friends, Mike Ermolovich, was a United States Naval Combat Aviator flying F-14s at the Top Gun School, okay? He was a flight instructor at Top Gun. And Mike is now a Delta Airlines pilot. He has been a captain with Delta for a very, very long time. Really great guy. And one time he turned to me and he said, "Do you know why they call that line the line of death? Because every time America crosses it, Libyans die." And that's literally, you know, I mean, they would send up MiG-21s and, you know, the Foxbat, the Flogger, all these other weird Russian fighter airplanes. We had the Grumman F-14. And, of course, that, you know, the first, I think, two times that American naval combat jets flew into what the Libyans saw was their airspace, the Libyans sent up airplanes, and we shot them all down. The next time they sent them in, we shot them all down. The next time we flew into the Gulf of Sidra, the Libyans did nothing. That's just the way things are in the flyboy industry, I might point out. You know, I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you want to live, you do not tangle with U.S. Navy and Marine Corps fighter planes and fighter pilots, do you? Japan learned that the hard way. Hey, we are still the freest country on this earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedoms away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading that charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays at 10 Eastern, 9 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Two programming notes. Number one, tomorrow night, which is the 9th of January, Thursday the 9th, Matthew will be on at 8 o'clock. As a matter of fact, I think Matthew's time on Thursday night will be, for the foreseeable future anyway, will be 8 o'clock. I would like to have another program Thursday nights, 2 hours. If you are a good, articulate, reliable, and dependable conservative, and you would like to be on our air, do not hesitate to send me an email. The address is Duke, that's D-U-K-E, at conservativenationmedia.com, and as my old buddy Steve Miles, the lawyer in Baltimore, used to say, let's talk about it. In any event, we are going to take a quick break. The second programming note concerning Matthew is I have a feeling that we're going to be hearing from Matthew soon, and I don't mean a postcard. Anyway, let's take a quick break. More coming up. Don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's a combination of those two. The first book I remember was Captain's Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. So here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeBay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome back. This is Radio Free America. That, of course, the immortal Santo and Johnny with Sleepwalk. That was redone in 1981 by Larry Carlton. Very, very good version, but that is just a terrific early 1960s, I think 1961, Santo and Johnny and Sleepwalk. I mentioned my buddy Matthew Opalisky a few minutes ago, and what a coincidence. Here he is on the air with us. Matthew, how are you doing, pal?
Good evening, Mr. Duke. How are you doing this evening? Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you too, buddy. We're all freezing to death here in Delaware, but from what I understand, it's supposed to be warmer tomorrow.
Yeah, I believe it's going to hit about 15, maybe 16. I think they're calling for upper 20s. And I don't know. I know that, of course, I could probably go on a tirade about the cold. And I mean, I have four kids, and three of them are in the quote unquote public school system still. And they actually canceled school the other day because it was cold, and it kind of, well, that's a whole other issue, I guess, in and of itself. But it's warming up, and what's the buzzword they're calling this thing? Some weird name. Or the Voltron?
Yeah, the Arctic Vortex. Arctic Vortex.
Yeah, sounded like it should have been like a James Bond movie. So that's moving on. We're warming up. We're warming up.
Well, tomorrow... In Lewis, Delaware, and you, of course, live on the opposite end of the state from me, 39 degrees tomorrow. On Friday, 49 degrees with a 30% chance of rain, and on Saturday, 62 degrees with a 70% chance of rain. Can you say warm front passage because that's what we're talking about. But, you know, anyway, it is going to be an improvement. What is going on the Liberty and Constitution community tomorrow night, buddy?
Well, tomorrow night, I've got a guy calling in. He's kind of a local guy. He's from the Elkton, Maryland area, so that's maybe about an hour and a half there, an hour and 40 minutes from us. Over the last couple, two, 3 weeks, maybe even a month now, there's been a big flop about First Amendment, and, you know, there was the Duck Dynasty A&E thing that social media kind of made out to be some great big First Amendment issue, which it really wasn't. Well, I happen to know a gentleman who had a rally not long ago. I don't know him personally. I've talked to him a few times on the radio, or I'm sorry, on the air, and I'm going to have him come on and do an interview. His name is Richard Preston, and he is a member of a group that a lot of times doesn't really get a fair shake, but I'm bringing him on because it is a real, live, true First Amendment issue. He's a member of, the group is called, if I'm going to get it right, I believe it's called the Confederate White Knights, okay? So it's a quasi Anglo-European pro-white group. But they recently had the permission of Cecil County government over in Maryland to use their council chambers for a public meeting. And, you know, the council over there was quoted in the paper saying, we really don't want them here, but it's their right to be here. So I'm bringing him on to discuss what happened at that meeting, because I understand there was some opposition that showed up, but it was cordial. It was peaceful, put it that way. But that is a true live First Amendment issue, standing up for speech even if you don't like it. Are you there, Duke? Hello.
Okay, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now, Matthew? Can you hear me now? Hello? Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, hey, how are you doing, Duke? I was talking.
Okay, I'm not really sure what was going on there, but all right.
What was the last thing you heard me say? And I'll tell you, I might have hung up unintentionally because I wasn't hearing anything, but what was the last thing you heard me say? And I can pick up from there.
It's okay. Well, you had mentioned that this fellow from the Confederate Knights, is generally his ideas are considered to be unpopular. And my response was that the purpose of the First Amendment is to protect unpopular speech, not just popular speech. I mean, that's what it's there for.
Yeah, and that's why I was interested in bringing them on, because I read about their proposed rally in the paper. So I called the guy, and we talked a little bit before they had their rally. And he told me, you know, he basically told me exactly what I was reading in the paper, that the county government over there really wasn't happy that he applied and that he had gotten permission to be there, but they realized that he, unlike, you know, the somebody that they may agree with, has every right to be there, or not unlike everybody they might agree with. Basically, in a nutshell, he or his group has every right to be there, just like somebody they may agree with. So they may not agree with whatever their policies are, but because they have that First Amendment right, they granted them permission to have their little meeting, and I'm going to basically talk to him about the process of him, you know, what kind of hoops did he have to jump through, and ask him how his meeting went. And from what I understand, I mean, I think it was just under 80 people showed up, and some were, you know, friends of theirs, and some were not so much friends of theirs, but everybody got along well, and there was a dialogue back and forth, and we're going to discuss that in the first hour. So we're going to, like I said, I wanted to bring a real, because over the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of, again, I mentioned there's a lot of quasi-media, social media pushed First Amendment issue that really wasn't a First Amendment issue. When I saw that, I said, "Wow, man, you know, that's a real, live, breathing First Amendment issue." And I wanted to bring it onto the air. And then in the second hour, I mean, we're going to talk a lot of pro-gun stuff. And you know, there was a ruling recently from a court that ruled that, you know, the Chicago, I don't know if you're familiar with Chicago, the ban on firearms and the ban on dealers actually in the city. Like, you can't have a federal firearms license and have a business selling guns in the city of Chicago. So somebody took that to court, and you had a district court rule that in and of itself, that they ban the fact that you, or that they ban the sale, the retail establishment, basically.
Yeah,
amount
that's right.
So you have a federal judge who ruled that in and of itself is an infringement on the Second Amendment, because you're preventing people from being able to buy firearms. So we're going to discuss
correct.
That. And I got to tell you, Duke, I'm one of these guys that kind of, I'm so sick and tired of half measures. And while that ruling sounds great, when we get into the details of it, and I don't want to spill the beans tonight, but you'll hear why I am not overjoyed with the ruling. I'm glad that it happened, but I think that it stopped short, so I'll save the rest of that for tomorrow.
I mean, you're not going to be discussing this guy's organization's theory. You're just simply talking about what the First Amendment has guaranteed them.
Yeah, and the process that they went through in order to be able to express their opinion.
Yeah. I remember when the Ku Klux Klan was going to hold a rally in a place called Skokie, Illinois, which is basically a suburb of Chicago. I think the entire northeastern quarter of Illinois is basically a suburb of Chicago. Chicago sprawls all over the place. And Skokie is a predominantly Jewish suburb, and
yeah.
It was either the Klan or the American Nazis, I think it was the American Nazis, whatever they are, wanted to hold a rally there, and the ACLU went to court because the town of Skokie had said, no, you're not going to be waving any swastikas around, and I can understand them at first blush thinking this is, you know, we can't have this because there are still living memories of the Holocaust right here in this community, and we don't want this. I understand that. But the First Amendment doesn't make any exceptions for what is popular, unpopular, offensive, not offensive, hurtful, not hurtful. It doesn't make any exceptions. Congress
yeah.
shall make no law abridging freedom of speech, period. That's
yep.
it.
I agree. And like I said, you know, I remember, well, it might have been last year, or it might have been the summer before that, the KKK, they had a rally in Bethany Beach, and I went down there to record it, you know, and it was only about a half an hour long, and I got to tell you, there was more vitriol coming from the folks on the boardwalk than there was from, you know, the folks that, and you know, they were at the time, get this, they were at, the Klan had a rally on the boardwalk in Bethany, and they were railing about health care. That's what they were railing about.
Yeah. Well,
so,
God bless,
I thought it was
the
interesting that they were even, you know, I thought it was interesting that they were able to hold the rally, which, look, I may not agree with them, but I agree. I'll stand up for their right to say what they want to say.
You got it. Thank you, my buddy. Got to go. But I look forward to hearing you tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, the Liberty and Constitution community on conservativenationmedia.com. Matthew, Happy New Year, pal. Talk to you tomorrow
Happy
night.
Happy New Year. We'll talk to you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you so much for being along tonight for this, the first 2014 edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. I look forward to speaking with you a week from Wednesday, and of course, tomorrow night at 8 Eastern, 7 Central, Liberty and Constitution Community. Have a great evening and a happy new year.